Now you get to share the word.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to sit over here.
That's the hot topic. You said, where are you?
All right.
That's why we're here. I paid you to say
that. No, you didn't.
I did.
You know, it really is an awesome thing to be a part of the family of God. And I guess we've been ministering here for Barney and I. We came here when we graduated from the Wake War, 82. And we requested to go on the Wild Field together with another couple and come here. And it was probably one of the most exciting lives that we had. Oh, I got to turn myself on. Excuse me. With my mic. Is that better? We don't know yet.
Play a song.
And there it is. Okay, good. And we had a tremendous year with that couple. A lot of you know them, Ron and Jan Booz. And when you open your heart to each other in the family of God, God knits hearts together. That's what God does. We don't do it. God does it. And when we can keep our priorities straight this way with the Father, then the priorities among the body of Christ are going to flow the way they're supposed to. And it takes each and every one of us, because God tells us we're a body and we each have unique responsibilities. He works within each and every one of us in different ways, where we're at, how to teach us to grow, how to teach us to give, how to teach us to minister. And if we hear that voice, that wisdom from God, and then we are obedient to it in spite of what we might feel like in the moment, great miracles happen because we allow God the privilege to do them for us. If we're stubborn and kind of, well, I think I should do it this way or that way, we don't see the same results. It doesn't stop God from loving us, and He never gives up on us, honestly, because I've had my moments where I didn't obey God. And He never quit on me. And it's a privilege to be able to be with the family of believers like you guys, not only to minister to you and to be there for you, which is truly my heart, to see the greatest things that can happen in your life because of what God has promised you to happen, but the way you minister to me and the things that you teach me and the love that you give me. And there's not one person in this room that's perfect, that's for sure, but we have Christ in us who is perfect, and we have the ability to manifest that at any given point in time we choose to. So I think, you know, we have so much more sometimes than we're mindful for as we get busy in this world. And today what I want to teach on, and I want to go to Exodus 28 first. I want to teach on the wisdom of God. You know, Barney did a teaching a few weeks ago on our Wednesday night fellowship, which, you know, sometimes Wednesday night fellowships can be pretty light in attendance, because everybody's busy. I get that, I understand that. But sometimes those are the places I find for myself where some of the most dynamic teachings happen. And Barney did a teaching on wisdom, just a very light, small teaching, but it, God worked in my heart to look at it deeper, the wisdom of God. Because you know what? There are two types of wisdom. We're going to talk about the wisdom of the world for just a couple of seconds here, because that's all it's worth. There is the wisdom of this world, man's wisdom. And if you think that man's wisdom could be pretty good, I want you to just stop that thought, and I want you to think about Hitler. That was a man's wisdom. It was his wisdom where he thought there had to be a supreme race, not God's wisdom. Look at communism, man's wisdom. Socialism, man's wisdom. And even today in our own country, look at how our government is so messed up. man's wisdom. I'm not going to talk about man's wisdoms today anymore. I want to talk about God's wisdom. Because in a biblical sense, and in the Aramaic word where this is first used, in Exodus 28, it is a Hebrew word that means an understanding from outside yourself. That's the simplest way. It has a whole lot of little adjectives and stuff, but it comes from an understanding outside yourself. So what we're talking about today is God's wisdom. This is a wisdom that comes from above. And in this first usage in Exodus 28:3, it says, and he's speaking to Moses, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I find this very interesting that this is the first place God chooses to talk about wisdom. Now we know Abraham walked with God, and God showed Abraham many things. God showed Noah many things. But this is the first usage where wisdom is talked about. And I find it very interesting that it is in the context of God putting the spirit of wisdom on certain people. The artiste, the workman who had workman's skills, in order to make the garments for the high priest so that he could go and consecrate with God. So to me, this tells me that wisdom is a very valuable thing when God gives it. Look at Exodus 35:26. And the reason I want you to look at this is the heart. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. He looked for people who had the craftsmanship, God did, and the heart. He put wisdom upon them. And this wisdom was for a very specific purpose at a very specific time. They didn't walk in that wisdom the rest of their lives. They walked in that wisdom as God gave it to them to prepare the garments. The garments, this is how big a deal this was to him, for the high priest so that he could consecrate with God for the people. I mean, think about that. This is where God chooses. But it's the detail of what he's showing us and why he's showing it to us. And look at Exodus 35. And Moses called Beelzebul. I can't even say these names. Brian, can you?
Which one?
36, verse 2. Yeah, sorry. He called these two guys that were wise-hearted men. Again, the heart was of you. And whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, then everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. All of these people did the work the way God showed them to do it. Garments, holy garments, had never been made before. In and of yourself, as a human being, you wouldn't know what that meant. It's kind of like Noah. Even though he doesn't mention the words wisdom with Noah, he instructed Noah, think about this. You think God asked you to do hard things sometimes? I do. Sometimes I think, God, are you serious? Then I think about stuff like Noah. You're going to build this big ark. What the heck is an ark? And you're going to do it this specific way. And you're going to do it because there's going to be a big flood. And you're going to have to take all these animals I'm going to show you on it. And I'm going to destroy everything else. And it took 100 years. Now that is a faithful man of God. And if you ever want to know what a faithful man of God looks like, read the account of Noah. I have to tell you, I'm not quite sure I was ready. And that's why I wasn't Noah. Because I don't know if I could have been that faithful to God. But he did. And look at the results. him and his family were spared. It's just, you know, God has so many examples in his word. And we're going to look at some examples of wisdom. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want to read about the wisdom of Solomon. You guys know who Solomon is, right? Son of David. And Solomon's the guy that God picked to build the temple, finish it up. And there's other places between here and there where God gives wisdom to men for specific reasons. Okay? He puts it on them for specific reasons. But look at this thing about Solomon. And Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of the building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jericho round about. Okay, now this is stuff that God gave him the wisdom to do. And he gave them helpers and put wisdom upon them so they could do it. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord and unto those days, in those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Of 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And you know how long it probably took him to get there, and how much, and camels, and the stuff he had to take with him to burn 1,000 offerings to his God. But he said he loved God, and so he sought to do the things that God put on his heart to do. And the king went into Gibeon and to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and 1,000, oh, we read that, 1,000 burnt offerings to be sacrificed upon that altar. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon when he was there in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now he took that offering, he traveled, he did it in the highest place he could do. He got as close to God as he could do it. And he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That took some commitment. And God saw this man's heart. And so in a dream, God said, ask what I shall give thee. And isn't that the way God is with us? What can I do for you? How can I bless you? What do you need? Come to me. I will meet all your needs. I'm reading Old Testament, and now I'm speaking of the church epistles and the promises not just to Israel, but to us as his kids. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him the great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. Now, this is a dream that he's having with God. Okay, so this is like a talk, a back and forth. They're talking back and forth in this dream. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. You think he understood the importance of God's people? You think he had a heart for God and God's people? A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant, this is what he's asking God for, a ton of money No.
No.
Here's what he's asking for. An understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy great and people, so great and people? He knew without God's wisdom, he could not care for God's people properly. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't say, well, you know what, God, I really need a house to do this in, and I really need a few servants, and a little bit of cash would be great. That wasn't this man's heart. This man knew what God needed him to do, and God left it open for him to do it of his own free will. So he says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. And in this judgment, it's not a judgment of condemnation. It's a just judgment. He cannot judge God's people without a just judgment according to the word. And that is why our relationship with God is so important. Why do you think Jesus Christ said, in and of myself? This is Christ, who never made a mistake. In and of myself, I can do what? Nothing. Because he knew in his heart, even in his position as the only begotten Son of God, without the Father's input. And then there's a second part to this. The obedience of the Father's input. God gives us a lot of wisdom and understanding, but sometimes we don't have the wherewithal, the sense, and sometimes maybe even the courage, maybe we were scared a little bit, to push past that dumb emotion and stick to the doctrine of what God's word is trying to get us to do. And I know God works with people differently, and we all have our own unique experiences with God, and I think those things are great, they're wonderful, they're part of our learning, our understanding. But just because you experience it in a certain way with God, doesn't mean you then tell everybody that's the way it's supposed to be. No. Many times, God gives us wisdom and understanding for our understanding, so we can walk as an example, not to go around and tell everybody, well, this is the way it's supposed to be done, because God showed me this. I think sometimes we lose the importance of the doctrine. And without the doctrine, people, without right doctrine, I'm talking this, we don't know how to love. Love is just an emotion that is easily manipulated when it's not centered on God's acts of love. And I think it's important to remember that. There's different types of love. Yeah, we can be loving and kind to people, but true love, the love of God and Christ in you, is to speak the truth. And what is the truth? What we're reading? Doctrine. The truth of God's word. And you do it in love. And sometimes people don't like it because you don't support what they're thinking. Maybe what they're thinking's off. Does that mean you can't love them? No. What you don't like, oh yeah, I'm there for you. Jesus Christ offered deliverance to people who were caught in bondage. If they wanted the deliverance, you know what he did? He ministered to them. He gave them the deliverance. Their lives changed. There were many people who did not want the deliverance. Scribes and Pharisees could be a really good group to look at. They're stubborn, stiff-necked, and determined that they were right. They didn't want Christ's deliverance. Do you think he'd have delivered them if they wanted it? Yeah. But then did he say, well, that's okay. I understand why you guys feel that way. And, I'll just leave you alone and you go do your thing. And, if you need my help, let me know. He did not do that, people. He stood on the truth of God's word, whether people liked it or not. And he was pretty tough on those people that refused doctrine. Wasn't he? Yeah. But he was compassionate and tender and loving and gracious and forgiving to to all of those who said yes. There was not one person he did not forgive that wanted the forgiveness. That's the wisdom of God in action. Look, Solomon prayed for that great heart of understanding. Why? So he can help God's people. If you want to finish reading chapter 3, you should, and then chapter 4, because chapter 4 is, you guys are familiar with this, I'm sure, where the two women came in to Solomon, and one said, no, that's my baby, and the other one said, no, that's my baby, and Solomon had just asked God for an understanding heart. You know what God said? I'm going to give you an understanding heart. And if you read this, you'll see he also says, and I'm going to give you great wealth, and I'm going to give you great power, and I'm going to give you great understanding. He didn't ask for that, but God honored his heart to the degree that he wanted to bless him back so that he could be the example of a man who walked with God's wisdom. See, that's what I want us to walk with. I mean, and a lot of it is doctrinal. It's not like guesswork. It's pretty doctrinal. So I encourage you to finish 3 and 4. And then I want to go to Proverbs. And I just want to go over, let me tell you people, from the time this first usage of wisdom is used until you get to Proverbs, which is a book that's written, it's written for all of us, but it has an emphasis on youth. Because a lot of times, sorry, Gabe, they're the youths in here. The rest of us are a little older. Not much older, but just a tad. And youth seem to need an understanding of wisdom earlier in their lives, as we did when we were youths, because God wants them to be able to have that strength in their lives, to have the wisdom of God in their lives, so that they stay out of circumstances that could harm them. So, you know, it's written by the king to his young son, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. But before you even get to Proverbs, there's a lot of more examples of wisdom in God's Word. So it's a great topic, you guys. I would really check this thing out. But we're going to go to Proverbs 1:7. The fear or reverence. Did I let you guys time it up either? Okay. The fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is what God says, not picky. Proverbs 2:2. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. Okay, so we listen. We incline our ear to wisdom. Now, who are we inclining our ear to?
God.
God. And apply. There's the second part of having wisdom work for you. And apply thine heart to the understanding. God will give you the wisdom and he will show you how to walk this, but he won't make you. God, we all know God's given us a free will, right? And many, many times, I know, I'll speak personally, maybe some of you are much further down the road, many, many times, God's grace and mercy covered my little dumb heart because I didn't walk with the wisdom that he gave me. But he covered for me until he could get through to me. That's just part of loving grace of God. But also be mindful that when we walk contrary to what God tells us, you guys, we open the door for the adversary to mess with our emotions, to mess with our logic, to mess with our thinking process, and we end up doing things that are not the best for us. You know why God gives us wisdom and understanding? Because he wants the best for us. You know why the adversary tries to screw around with it? Because he wants us to fail. Spiritual battle, people. It really is. This is like life and death stuff we're looking at from God's Word, and he put it in here. Proverbs 2:6, just in case you're wondering, where it's very plain. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. go to Proverbs 3:13. Happy. You guys want to be happy?
Yep.
I want to be joyfully happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Look down at verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So wisdom can also show you how to be discreet. You know, sometimes it's about timing, walking in wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 7 in chapter 4. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all getting, get understanding. So with wisdom comes what? Understanding is the application of the wisdom God's given you. And sometimes when I get wisdom, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, which we'll talk about in a minute, you know, I have to pray. God, I hear you. I hear what you're telling me to do. I understand what you want. I need you to give me the courage. I need you to help me do this. This one ain't easy. And of course, he knows it's not easy. But he always comes through, people. He always comes through. And it's not a mess to dig ourselves out of if we walk with him. The mess comes when he has to help us dig ourselves out of disobedience. That's when the mess comes. And God only wants the best for you. You know, sometimes I think I know what's best for me. Have you guys ever done that? I think I know what's best for me. Up here. I feel it. But deep in the heart of believing where the word lives, it ain't feeling no good. And I've learned through the years, when I have that going on in my heart and mind, I need to stop and I need to go to God for strength, for courage, maybe more understanding, so that I can do what he's asked me to do, because I don't want to do it. Have you ever told God that? Have you been that honest with God? Right up front. God, you need to get somebody else to do this. I do not want to go down that road. People are not going to like me. Well, that really didn't make any difference. But in the moment it did. How do I say that to somebody? I know they're going to get mad at me. And God goes, but I'm going to take care of that. You can do this, Vicki. Have you ever had conversations like that? Moses did. I don't want to go get those people that I can't talk right. Who are they going to say? I am. And every objection Moses had. Did God at any time say, okay, Moses, forget you. I'm going to pick somebody else. No. He gave Moses what Moses needed to encourage him to take the next step. That's what happens when you're working with God. Not chaos, not all this. Yes, I understand we have an adversary, and sometimes he tries to block our roads. But you guys, God is so much bigger than that. He can get through to your heart so much quicker when you're meek and humble. And I'm not going to read all these scriptures from Proverbs, but please go through the book of Proverbs. Because God tells us that. Wisdom is given to a meek and humble heart. Pride rejects the wisdom of God. And we all deal with that. Don't tell me you don't. I know, because I'm human too. But God has the right way for us to live our lives. And he gives us the wisdom and understanding. And when you're ministering to other people, you know what? Without that, you're just walking by your five senses. And sometimes we may do a good job because we have these wonderful hearts, and But for the most part, you know what? It's not the complete job God could get done if we were tapped in and willing to walk with Him. You know? And if you're not, you guys, don't just blow it off. Okay, let's say God shows you something to do. He gives you this wisdom. He gives you this understanding. He's working the Spirit of God within you. It's not something you want to do, and you don't really understand why He's picking on you. And don't just dwell with that in yourself. Go find a quiet place and tell Him. He already knows. But talk it over with Him. Give Him the opportunity to work with your heart. Give you the strength that He says He will supply for you. So you can walk out and do these miraculous things and bless His people the way He wants you to. You know, and it starts with simple things. Yeah, walking in love is one of them. Bob read the note from Eric. Abundantly sharing is one of them. Those are all wise things to do in our lives. And if we're not even doing the basic things, reading His Word, going to Him daily with prayer, giving of our lives and our finances, walking in love and forgiveness to one another. God, people, these are things that Christ lives within us, did every day of His life. The strength is there. Use your wisdom from God to tap into that. So you can be and do what God's called you to be. Because that's where you're going to be the most blessed. That's where I'm going to be the most blessed. And I haven't got this down. Believe me, I'm teaching this teaching just as much for me as I am for anybody in this room. And I want to point out a couple of things before we close. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of Wisdom, I said, was put upon certain people for certain tasks, and then they didn't have that anymore. When you become God's child, when you believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, God deals differently with us. He makes it so much more simple for us. Doesn't have to come in a dream. It comes this way. His Spirit teaches your spirit. That's in His Spirit teaches the spirit that is inside of you so that you have the wisdom and understanding you need to walk with the Father. And part of it is you need to know this doctrine, because the adversary can give wisdom, can give understanding too. It's just not the right one. You remember foundation. This is foundational stuff, you guys. The adversary can come so close to the genuine, you don't see it. My eyes will not see it, but the eyes of Christ will. And you know how I know how Christ walked and lived? The doctrine of His life. And one of the amazing things, I think this is so amazing. When God poured out His Spirit to us, it says in Corinthians chapter 12 that He put the Spirit of wisdom in us. It's not on us. It doesn't go away. It is actually a part of the revelation manifestations. It's a part of the gift of Holy Spirit. Look it up. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Can't think about that. Think about the magnitude of love and believing and trust that God has in us, His children, to not limit the ability to go to Him and ask for wisdom and understanding, discerning the spirits, faith, miracles, healing, speaking in tongues, prophecy, interpretation. We don't lose that. And walking in wisdom is one of those things that He deemed necessary to place within our hearts and life in a permanent situation. Because He knew the spiritual battle was not going to get easier. He knew the things of this world were going to become more and more enticing as time went by. And it is. But if we walk in the wisdom of God and the understanding of God, and we have the courage to stick to the doctrine that He has laid down for us, it opens up power in our life that no one else can ever have. And it defeats every corner, every nick, every roadblock, every bump, every whisper in your ear from the adversary that's contrary to God's word. So it's important to love people absolutely, unconditionally, but love them according to the wisdom and understanding of the doctrine of God that He's left us. I wouldn't even know about God without the doctrine. I wouldn't know about Christ and who I am in Christ, and I can do greater works without the doctrine. So it is a balance. It is knowing this. And you know, sometimes, maybe in closing, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I think I'm right, but then I'm not quite sure I'm right. You know what I've learned to do? Open the Bible and check out what I'm thinking with what the Word says I should be doing. And the greatest place to go is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It tells you what love is, and it tells you what love is not. So if you have a question, and what I'm about to do, is it really what God wants me to do? Check it out with the doctrine. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll make it so clear to you. Then there's no doubt in your heart. And when you walk out there and do what God asks you to do, you know what's a high peak in your life? Trust and confidence in God to come through with what He says He is going to do. And you will see it in your life. And our lives shine when we do that. God just sits up there and He's like, yeah, He did it. She did it. Yes. That's how much He loves us. So that's what I wanted to share on the wisdom of God. I love you guys, and God bless.